with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. In recent programs, we've explored the broad brush of accessible arts and delved into the specifics of audio description of live theatre. Today, we move to the topic of accessibility in the converging areas of telecommunications, the internet, and broadcasting. The Australian Communications Consumer Action Network, or ACAN as it is generally known, is Australia's peak body for consumer representation in communications. A prominent focus of ACAN is to address issues experienced by people with disabilities, to the extent that they have on staff a disability policy advisor, Wayne Hawkins. Barbara Sullivan spoke to Wayne to find out more about his role and ACAN's work.
ACAN's the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network that was formed in 2009. We're the peak organisation representing consumers in the telecommunications sector. We're funded by the Commonwealth Government under Section 593 of the Telecommunications Act. So what that means is that government imposes a levy on eligible telecommunications company to fund consumer representation in that sector.
So what is your main focus?
Main focus is to ensure that all consumers have accessible, affordable and available telecommunications. And as I said, it's the peak consumer organisation in this sector. So we work very closely with the industry, with the government regulators, with the Department of Communications to ensure that remit is fulfilled, that all consumers have access, affordable access and available access.
So quite a lot of the focus is on the products and services of the telcos.
Very much so, yes.
So who are your members? Can an individual be a member?
Yes, we have a lot of members. It is a member-based organisation. I think it's about 215 members currently. It's pretty evenly split between organisational members and individual members. So we have a good representation of both individuals and organisations representing specific constituencies of consumers.
So you don't have a facility for handling complaints, for example. That would go to something like the Ombudsman or...
Yes, we're not an individual complaints handling organisation. We look more at the systemic issues that affect consumers in the sector. We can direct individuals with issues around their telecommunications products and services in the right direction, which is generally to the TIO, the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, but we don't handle individual complaints per se.
So on to subjects that are of particular concern to us at AbleQuest, because we look at assistive technology and initiatives for people living with disabilities. Could you expand on the types of members, the organisational members you have in the disability sector?
The organisational members make up about 30% of our organisational membership. So it's a significant size, and it's pretty much across all disabilities. We have disabilities organisations representing people with vision impairment, people with hearing and deafness, physical disability, intellectual disability. So it's a pretty broad cross-section of the disability sector. We have some of the peak organisations representing people with disability in Australia. So it's a very broad mix of members representing disability.
30% of the total membership, that makes your job very significant.
Mm.
On the subject of vision impairment, we actually became interested in your work because of your advocacy for audio description of content on TV networks and movie streaming services. So we'd like to discuss that. Can you talk to us about your work in that area?
One of the areas that we do a little bit of work, and it's not our primary area, is broadcast services. And primarily we are interested in the access features for people with disabilities, i.e. captions and audio description. And as your listeners would know, closed captions have been on Australian free-to-air television and subscription television for quite a long time. And in this current year is the first year where it's been 100% closed caption provided on free-to-air television, which is fantastic.
Right? Yeah. 100%, that's phenomenal.
disturbingly, there's no audio description content on free-to-air television in Australia. So that's an area where we see that there's a clear need for some movement to get the industry on board with that, to inform the community of how audio description works, the benefit that it provides for people who are blind or vision impaired, and the need to have that service available so that everybody can participate in our free-to-air television. It's also not just free-to-air, but that's, I think, the first place where we're looking to get that going. And we've been partnering with other blindness organizations and consumer organizations that are interested in promoting audio description on Australian television.
It's interesting because we had Sancha Donald, who's the CEO of Accessible Arts, on AbleQuest recently, and they are doing quite a lot in the area of audio description in theatres and the Opera House, for example, and they've just recently audio described the Vivid Light and Sound Festival. I don't know if you're working with Accessible Arts, are you?
We don't really work with them, but we are very much aware of the work that they're doing. While they provide that service for people in a live environment, it falls out of our remit of telecommunications.
So are any of the free-to-air channels, the four free-to-air channels, doing anything in with regard to audio description, trialing or whatever?
The ABC is providing a 15-month trial of audio description on selected programming on
right.
their iView catch-up service, which is a good step forward in the provision of greater access for people who are blind or vision impaired, but it's certainly not a satisfactory alternative for broadcast
yes.
television audio description.
But it's a tiny step forward.
We see any move in providing greater access as a positive step, but we are not happy with any idea that this should be instead of having audio description on broadcast television. That's not something that we're happy with.
Could you tell us about other advocacy work you do for the disability sector?
A lot of the work that we do is in the area where the deaf and hearing impaired. That's a group of people whose impairments make accessing telecommunications quite complicated. We've worked quite a lot within the broadcasting area with the closed captions, creating the closed captions quality standards, which was a good step in ensuring that those captions that are on television for people who are deaf or hearing impaired are actually readable, comprehensible, and accurate. So we've done a lot of work in that area. One of the main areas that I'm working on currently is around the areas of accessible ICT and trying to encourage the government to adopt a procurement policy so that all of the information and communications technology that the government procures is accessible, which will have several benefits for people with disability. In the first instance, it will make the Australian Public Service a more accessible employer for people with disabilities,
yes.
which would be good given that our number of people with disability in the APS year on year seems to decrease. That would be positive to provide more opportunities for employment. There's other roll-on effects of having a government only procuring accessible ICT that will force manufacturers to make more accessible and more innovative products to meet the government's needs. Those products then become available in the wider market.
Now, recently, I understand that there was a study done, an assisted access study undertaken by Able Australia, which you funded at DECAN. Could you talk to us a little
sure.
bit about that study?
One of the things that we do at DECAN is we administer a grants program for the government, and it's in the vicinity of $250,000 a year. So we administer that and we fund eligible projects. It's quite a competitive process. I think in the last couple of years, there's been in the vicinity of about 70 or 80 applicants. Obviously, we can't fund all of those, so we have an independent panel that decides which are the most useful for consumers. And I think it was last year's round that the Able Australia project came through, and that project was looking at how to facilitate deafblind consumers being able to better interact with their telco providers. And what it essentially did was make it possible for interpreters to speak on behalf of deafblind clients around telco issues that the consumers were experiencing, and not to act as their agents, but to act as their interpreters.
And so there were all sorts of privacy issues, I imagine, that the telcos brought up.
Yeah.
No, we can't talk to you.
Exactly, and there was a big barrier there. And the Able Australia project recommended that telcos allow people to have a PIN number, and that PIN number can be the authorization for accessing the accounts and having discussions about the accounts using interpreters, so that consumers are actually involved in the discussion, but they're not involved directly. They have an interpreter helping them negotiate the discussion with their provider.
But the PIN number identifies.
A couple of the providers have already taken that on, so that's really positive that they've taken on that PIN system to provide access.
Oh, that's right. I heard Genie Mobile did.
Yes, and a couple of others are in the process of working out how they can put that into their system.
Now, there is a competition that you run each year, Apps for All Challenge. What's the purpose of that? Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's been quite an exciting initiative. It came out of our 2013 conference, M-Enabling Australasia, which was focused entirely, the conference, two-day conference, was focused entirely on the benefits of mobile technology for people with disability and older people. The challenge is a way to encourage app developers, Australian app developers, to think about accessibility and user experience. So to think about, you know, can everybody use this app? Is it going to be usable for people who can't see the screen? Is it going to be usable for people who have limited dexterity and people who have, you know, limited hearing? So it's a way of encouraging developers to think about those issues, and so that we will have, hopefully, more accessible apps being created in Australia. I think we have a very strong developer network in Australia.
Yes, now there were several winners in different categories, but tell us about the innovative app designed for people with a disability or for older people.
Yeah, we have four categories, and that one is the most innovative app for people with disability. And this year, the winner was the National Relay Service app, which is an app primarily used by people who are deaf, hearing impaired, or speech impaired. Mm-hmm. And it allows them to utilize the National Relay Service services from their mobile app. So for many years, people using the National Relay Service were limited to only being able to use the TTY, which was in their home, and they didn't have access to the National Relay Service when they were out and about. And the app allows them to use a number of the services that are offered through the National Relay Service when they're, you know, out and about, at work, at home, and provides them with the same kind of access to telecommunications that the rest of the community have.
What is the best way of people finding out more about ACAN, Wayne? Your website?
The website's probably the best, www.acan.org.au. We have a lot of really useful consumer information, tip sheets. We have a disability portal, which provides lots of information about what is available for people with a range of disabilities in the telecommunications sector. What are people's rights and what are the responsibilities of providers for people with disability? It's a very good resource for people with disability or for organizations representing people with disability.
And that's accan.org.au.
Yes.
Now, do you have anything in the pipeline you want to talk about, any new initiatives or any new policy work that you're doing?
One of the things that we're really keen to get some progress on is around those same access features that we're finding difficult on broadcast television. Now that so much audiovisual media is moving online with catch-up television and video on demand, there's really a need to make sure that those new services being delivered on new platforms have the same access features that we need for broadcast and for movies. So we're really keen to see some movement in the area of getting captions and audio description on those new delivery platforms of audiovisual content.
Companies like Netflix or Stan or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Netflix is pretty good. They have 100% captions in their catalogue, and then they've started doing audio description. I'm not sure how much content, programming content they have with audio description, but they have made a commitment to increase that year on year, so that's really positive.
Well, the very best of luck with all your new ventures, and it's wonderful to hear about the work of the organisation, Wayne.
My pleasure. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks very much for joining us today on AbleQuest.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.